great.
But here's what he did.
Rhyme it. Do you know how to rhyme it? Oh, please just rhyme it.
And he really gets into it.
Do you know how to rhyme it?
Yes, of course.
We will.
You don't even have to think about it.
Like, so let's rhyme it today. Rhyme it.
Yes.
We are going to do rhyme it. Just.
Yeah, rhyme
that's
it.
Where he just
ooh, rammed it. I like everybody.
I'm not going to remember any of it.
That's good. That's the way to go.
All over the rams today and ram it.
I mean, now he's like on his feet.
How are you
guys? Whose house?
Wow.
Ram it.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Rams Brothers. I'm your host, Dean, and I'm joined, as always, by my brother and the other great hosts of this show, Nick. And Nick, day one is complete. Jared versus a Ram. Rams fans got their pass rusher, but first and most importantly, how are you, my good brother?
I'm good. It's funny when you put all this time into the pre-draft content like you and I did, and what ends up happening is during the first mock draft that we did, this is the first player that we took and then made like a bunch of other mocks, and lo and behold, it was Jared Verse all along.
I mean, you can't overthink it, right? I mean, like when you originally project a player at number 19 overall, he was roughly in that area in terms of overall projections, top 100 players. I think it was the perfect spot to take him. And you didn't have to invest any money. You didn't have to invest any assets to trade up and go up to the Chicago Bears number 9 or number 8, which was, I think, a lot of the speculation. Like as the day started, there was so much speculation that the Rams were going to potentially trade into the top 10. And I think the player that everybody was targeting was Rome Odunze. Like, that's what we had on our minds. That's why, you know, we were talking about the direct message we received from Kevin Demoff and why it makes sense for the Rams to potentially trade up. But then when you kind of like sit back and you go back to your original mock draft, the very first one that you did, the Rams needed a pass rusher. The Rams needed an edge rusher to be able to complement guys like Kobe Turner and Byron Young. And now they're in a really good spot with two players on the exterior with, you know, those rookie contracts. And then also Kobe Turner is going to continue to develop in the three tech. So I think they didn't outsmart themselves. They sat, they picked, and I think that they took the most, I would say, polished and all around, you know, highest ceiling player in the draft from an edge rusher perspective in Jared Verse.
I totally agree with that. From everything that I've been taking in after he was drafted and before, it just seems like he is just an absolute unit beast. What's the combine rep? 225, 32 times?
31 reps at 225. The guy is just a weightlifting freak. And you know what's really interesting? His dad is just like Aaron Donald's. During the pandemic, he put on 40 pounds of muscle, and his dad was extremely integral in his weightlifting and his strength building over the years. So, you know, those are all things you love about players, and you look at the care factor with Aaron Donald. This is a guy that had two brothers and three sisters growing up. He's one of six children. He grew up in Dayton, Ohio, where Sean McVay and Chris Shula spent their college years. The dad had to relocate for work, so then they moved to Pennsylvania. And then at Central Columbia High School in Lime Ridge, Pennsylvania, he was primarily an inline tight end. So he occasionally saw snaps on the defensive line, but junior year, he was primarily a tight end. He averaged, on his junior year, 22.7 yards per catch. And then his senior year, they really let him play both sides. He caught 15 passes on offense and then forced three fumbles on defense while also lettering in basketball and track. So he won a state championship as part of the relay team at the 2019 Penn Relays. So this is a guy in terms of his combine, extremely fast 40 time, extremely fast get off. And I think this is kind of where some of the care factors and similarities with Byron Young come into play a tad. Like, this is a zero-star recruit as a 205-pound tight end. He didn't receive any offers from any FBS schools. And his last high school game, Albany was like, we got to offer this guy a scholarship. Like, just based on his athleticism and his growth potential alone, within that scholarship, they offered him the option. You could play edge, you could play tight end. But then as you develop, as you get bigger and stronger, it makes more sense for him to become an edge rusher. And then the 2020 pandemic hits, he's taking online classes and he adds 40 pounds of muscle, as I mentioned. So this is what the timeline looks like for Jared Verse. He was redshirting in 2019. 2020 was the pandemic. 2021, he then goes to Albany. Albany was 3-12 in 15 games. But his production was insane. 11.5 tackles for a loss, 10.5 sacks, one forced fumble, one pass deflection. And then from there, he decides to transfer to Florida State, where he just continuously flourished. 2022, 16.5 tackles for a loss, 9 sacks. He was first team all ACC, and then he led the ACC in tackles for loss. He led the teams in sacks, and he blocked the friggin' field goal. And then the next year, he goes out and blocks a point after attempt in 2023. Probably would have been a top 20 pick if he came out last year instead of this year. And then in 2023, 12.5 tackles for a loss, 9 sacks, 1 forced fumble, 3 pass deflections. First team All-American, first team All-ACC. He led the team in sacks. He blocked the point after attempt that I talked about. And his numbers weren't quite as good as they were in 2022. But McVay commented yesterday in their post-draft presser that in the back half of the 2023 season, you saw him become more efficient. You saw him continuously develop his pass rush moves. You saw him be more polished as a pass rusher in their eyes. And I think that all of those things were taken into consideration when you went up and looked at a player like this at number 19 overall. So I really, really like the pick. I think it was just smart to not overthink it, settle down, and take the guy that you feel like could best fit the front seven and Chris Shula's new defensive scheme.
Yeah, I mean, what we have to do, what people in our position have to do is kind of just drive in a circle for months of figuring out, like, okay, if they do trade up, this could happen. If they stay put, this could happen. If they trade back. And you kind of get yourself in this tizzy of, okay, Sean McVay, he's going to get an offensive guy. And by the time that mainstream media started to report it, well after us, then I started to get a little shaky because I was like, oh, maybe that's like, you know, we talked ourselves up, and now it's finally getting to the point where the journalists of the football world are like, they really like one guy, and it's an offensive guy.
I mean, this was the report, Nick. To your point, like, right, everything that was coming out within hours of the draft, Diana Rossini goes on the Colin Cowherd show, and she was tweeting out from The Athletic. And The Athletic is the most credible source in football. She was like, the Rams are trying to trade up into the top 10, potentially with Raheem Morris at number 8 or potentially with the Chicago Bears at number 9. Who were they looking to select? And then Colin Cowherd was questioning the report, and Diana Rossini was like, are you questioning my report, Colin? You never question
it. That was great.
Yeah, never, never, ever question an Italian woman. They're always right. But then the combine rolls around, and he decides that 225, 31 times was good. He runs a 4.58. He showcases that track background. And then that, what's really interesting about his wingspan, that 80-inch wingspan at 6'4", 254, it was the fastest 40 by any player at the combine, with 33 plus inch arm length and then 30 plus bench reps in the last 10 years. Those two guys were Jared Verse and Myles Garrett.
Yeah. I mean,
Myles,
that's something
Garrett,
love
defensive player of the year, absolutely dominant edge rusher. If you get somebody like him, this pick is a home run.
Yeah. Yeah. It is funny that a lot of what we were saying was like, well, you can't, you're not going to be able to replace Aaron Donald in any way. So you might as well go up there and get somebody to add to the offense and figure out the defense later. And in no way will he be able to fill that hole. But if you're bringing somebody that's a Myles Garrett comp and can be that level of interruption on the defense immediately, you've done wonders to the defense already.
And you know what's really interesting? Like, Tony Pastors was talking about crafting a different type of pass rush when he was talking with Jordan Rodriguez the one time a year that he talks to the media. And, you know, you could build it this the way that the Rams had built it initially was interior to exterior. Let's invest a lot of money in our interior pass rushers, in Aaron Donald, and then we're going to develop Kobe Turner. And the edge guys like Michael Hoyt, guys like Byron Young, they could be young and underdeveloped if we still have that key piece in the middle in Aaron Donald. But now they're looking, let's build it exterior to interior. Let's get two guys under a rookie contract in Byron Young and Jared Verse is going to have that fifth year option as a first round pick. And let's continue to develop. And then maybe, you know, on day two and day three, we're going to continue to add some interior pieces. And there's a ton of interior players still on the board. Even that Johnny Newton is still hanging around. I was pretty pissed when the Seattle Seahawks took Byron Murphy the second, because we know how badly they want to be the Los Angeles Rams. But, like, you kind of look at what happened and how the draft board fell, and I think Jared Verse at number 19 overall is just a home run. And you look at some of the things, like, he is his get off is just really, really intriguing. And again, he taps into that track background, but he's really, really quick off the ball, and he loves to leverage his arsenal of chop moves. So that stab chop, that cross chop specifically that McVay and Seed commented on in the presser. In watching his film, he's never out of a play. Like, his motor is relentless, and he stays extremely balanced through contact to win at the point of attack consistently. And then when you watch him back, there's also reps on film where he would drop into coverage and defend against running backs who likely posted slower 40 times with ease. And, you know, those are some of the things that you kind of look for within the Rams' defensive scheme, is because, you know, their edge rushers are going to eventually drop back in coverage at some point, right, within this. You know, within this bend don't break scheme. Who knows how it's going to exactly evolve under Chris Shula, but just in terms of getting really used to seeing extra blockers, that extra blocking attention that, you know, Rams fans know all too well with Aaron Donald from running backs and tight ends and then guards and everything like that. I think that's going to kind of recommends the fact that he's going to alleviate some stress internally from guys like Kobe Turner, if he's able to draw, you know, that additional help. You know, guys on the outside, guys on the inside. McVay also talked about how he could play a little bit of three tech and line up against a guard. So you're going to have a lot of versatility up front in your front seven with a guy like this. And, you know, it's something that you need with Aaron Donald not being in the building any longer. He's not a perfect player. He's not as bendy as some of the other pass rushers in the class. And I know everybody really, really loved Liatu Latu, and understandably so. He's the first defensive player off the board, but there's no medical history with this player. Like, I think that the upside is a little bit higher. I think Liatu Latu was more of a finished product, and Jared Verse still has some ridiculous upside if he continues to develop his pass rushing back. Not a perfect player, not as bendy, but I think in terms of some of his, like, you look back at the film, he over pursues a little bit. He rushes past the pocket a little bit, and that's occasionally due to his speed. But when he leverages that speed power combination, that, you know, that's a projected player that the Rams are hoping to get Sunday, opposite of Byron Young. And I think the Rams really like his versatility. He played that base 4-3 scheme at Florida State and can rush the passer from either side standing up or with his hand in the dirt. And, you know, those are all things you look for. I was looking for that in Liatu Latu. I was looking for that in Dallas Turner. But you really see it in Jared Verse.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing that does concern me when you play Kyler Murray twice a year, and the dominant effect that Aaron Donald had on Kyler Murray, is when you rush past the passer, which in a lot of the clips we saw, because Kyler is the kind of guy that to be able to like duck and dive and like kind of get past that. So that does stick out a little bit, but at the same time, like from what he can do from like multiple positions to get to the quarterback, it's going to be something that, you know, we're really excited for. Did we want Latu? Yeah. I mean, I think most teams were looking at him 100%. We had him. We had talked about him. But that's, I think, you know, I'm definitely happy with who we selected.
I love the point that you made about Kyler Murray, too, because, you know, Kyler, as he goes through his progressions, if that over pursuit is happening on the edge, it forces him up in the middle. Right. And then you need to be able to strengthen the interior. So you can always look at like a nose tackle on day two, day three. You can look at another three tech to pair with Kobe Turner, because Kobe Turner also plays nose tackle. So you're going to continuously build out this front seven.
Kobe Turner might be getting a lot more double teams this year than he saw last year.
Yeah. And I think Jared Verse is going to help to alleviate some of that. And, you know, that's kind of what they're looking for in guys. Like, how much, you know, Byron Young's on a one-on-one opportunity every single time on the weak side, you know, he's going to eat. And some of these other guys, while they may get the pressures, they might not get the sack numbers, but one of the guys is going to reap the benefits of one of these players drawing additional help. So, I mean, that's kind of the best part. I think when he channels his energy, and this is what you can look at the next gen stats, when he kind of channels his energy, he's as disruptive as anybody in the class, I think, interior or exterior. And when you look at his frame, like, it suggests that he's pure power, pure speed and versatility. And that's what rounds him out as the most polished in my eyes. The hand usage is NFL quality. The pass rush bag is really, really good and has potential to get better. High floor as an NFL starter. I think it was one of those safer picks that we talked about. And then the initial comp, I think was really interesting, was a guy that the Rams pursued and signed in the Sean McVay era, was Dante Fowler. But I personally think that he's stronger and cares more about football. but that's just me. I saw a little bit of lack of heart with Dante Fowler in 2019, but I don't know these guys personally, but in terms of the care factor, the father, all of the other intangibles that go alongside of, you know, just being a football player, I think that's where he's going to thrive.
Yeah, I tend to like people if they have more siblings as well. You know, I feel like you're a more well-rounded individual if you come out with like a good amount of brothers and sisters, because those are like, you know, they're your peers and they shape you and you kind of grow together with them.
You're right. Yeah, I mean, we always talk about the younger brother factor with a guy like Puka Nacua. Like,
you ever heard of that all the time, the younger brother factor? Freaking Bill Simmons. It's like his favorite thing. He's like, yeah, you know, I like it when they get like kind of hit up a little bit and they kind of grew up with like older brothers. And I'm like,
Bill? Yeah, Drake May, when he was drafted by the Patriots, was talking about that. He was talking about how he's one of the younger brothers, and he gets beat. I think he's the youngest brother, gets beat up consistently. And it just, it rounds you out to be a stronger individual, but also to have, you know, the understanding of like other people's perspectives. Like, this is the middle brother, this is the older brother, this is what they've been through, this is what I could learn, and this is what I could apply to my life. And I think that when you have that, and you have a really good father, and you have all of those pieces in place, it's going to allow you to just focus on football and build the best pass rush bag and be able to get after the quarterback at the highest ability. So it's definitely interesting. I know the Dante Fowler comp is maybe a little scary to some Rams fans, but was a top pick. What's really interesting, picks 19 to 23, like those are all guys that the Rams had met with. Like, those are all guys that, you know, Jared Verse, Troy Faltano went to the Steelers at 20 overall. Chop Robinson went to the Dolphins right after at 21. Quinyon Mitchell, who we loved from Toledo, went to the Eagles. Brian Thomas Jr., everybody's like, could fall to the Rams at 19, went 23 to the Jags. And I wonder if the Rams would have gone Amarius Mims if he hadn't gone number 18. But, you know, the board fell pretty interestingly. And Liatu Latu being the first defensive player off the board, I think, shook things up. And then also 14 offensive players going straight away.
Yeah.
It was pretty
unpleasant. When you don't trade up and you're just like sitting there waiting for your pick, the amount of things that have to go your way, it's like hitting a hole in one like twice, because like you had like so many, there are so many variables in who the other teams are going to get. And then like you have to be prepared for like as many of those as possible. And like hopefully one of the players that fits into your idea of what it is to be a Ram is available. And luckily, you know, they stayed put and they found somebody that I think is going to be a huge impact in horns right away.
Yeah, well, he is. I mean, he's going to start outside linebacker edge immediately. I love the hole in one analogy twice, because it's never going to fall perfectly. I think that's why people do so many mock drafts. That's why people project trades in mocks, because any situation, it's like getting a perfect bracket in the NCAA tournament twice, you know, like it just doesn't happen. So I think that's what's so interesting about all of this. And then also PFF Rams tweeted out that Jared Verse in 2023, 90.8 pass rush grade, 11 sacks. And then the pass rush win rate. I think when you look at pass rushers, you have to be able to look at their pass rush win rate. You have to look at pressures generated in general, look at tackles for a loss instead of just the sack total. All of these numbers are so important when it comes to evaluating this type of player. And also, Jared Verse's jersey is available on the Rams' shop. Looks like he's going to wear number one. So number one is going to be Jared Verse, and number zero, Agent Zero, on the opposite side is going to be Byron Young. When I saw this immediately, I was thinking to myself, I think number one is Darion Kendrick. Is he giving that thing up or what?
Don't buy that jersey just yet. Verse does look a little like Vespi. Just like from like, maybe it's my dyslexia, but looking at it, it's just like, oh, it's kind of similar. and if we would have gotten Bowers, I would have maybe, I mean, I don't know. Now I'm at that age where it's like, do I want to wear somebody's, you know, number on my back that's younger than me? I mean, I've bought a jersey, so whatever. but still, I would have had to have gotten the Bowers jersey, but lo and behold, his talent will be wasted in Las Vegas for years to come.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what? It was like, we talked about Rome Odunze. We talked about Brock Bowers, and it's because there was, you know, talks about the Rams maybe moving into the top 10. And I think that the way that the draft was, considering it was so offensive heavy, like it made sense to potentially consider that, but you know, when it doesn't, like, I love the pairing of Roma Dunze and Caleb Williams in Chicago. Like, it's a great way to attempt to turn around your organization really 100%. Quick.
And you said it, before the episode started, how it felt exactly like what the Texans did last year. How you just got two guys that are going to be franchise guys for the foreseeable future right away, early in the draft. And they have North Carolina to thank for that.
Yeah. I mean, two cornerstone pieces. And that's what's so interesting about that. And then, like, when you look at day two is going to start later today. You know, guys like Dallas Turner, Cooper DeJean, Johnny Newton, Kool-Aid McKinstry, Marshawn Nealand, A.D. Mitchell.
Kool-Aid went already, I think.
Did he? I don't think he did. No?
No, I thought he got picked up by somebody. Hold on, let me check. Keep going.
I don't think he did yet. No, because I know that the way that the draft fell at the end, I saw Darius Robinson, Xavier Legette traded up. The Panthers traded up to get him at 32.
No, you're right. My friends were talking about Kool-Aid.
Xavier Worthy went to the Chiefs. No, but it was Terrion Arnold, I believe, that went. So the cornerback from Alabama, who I think we liked even more. A.D. Mitchell, too, is still on the board. Absolutely love A.D. Mitchell. Chris Jenkins, you can plug and play him at 3-tech. Kingsley Sumataya, who we talked about, is an offensive lineman. I would love to see them go offensive line early on day two. But I think we're all pretty happy over the fact that Jared Verse is in Horns.
Bo Nix is not in Horns. Huge win. I love the it seemed like every fan base, it was like, oh, they got a tackle. Like, it was like boring. No one was excited for offensive line. And then the Falcons were the other team that just absolutely pooped the bed. So
yeah, I mean, you signed Kirk Cousins to a 4-year, $100 million contract. I mean, he's coming off an Achilles injury. And then Michael Penix is one of the oldest quarterbacks to come out in the draft, right, because of the injury.
Stetson Bennett of this year, Michael Penix.
Yeah, I know. It's quite – but, I mean, like, then you go back to Atlanta, you think Michael Vick, arm strength, Atlanta Falcons, all the success they had back then. You need a successor to Kirk Cousins if you can't play coming off of the Achilles. It was still kind of confusing, but – I think for the most part, we're pretty happy with what happened. It wasn't precisely what we projected towards the end of our draft evaluation, but in the very beginning, it was pretty simple, made a ton of sense, and it was very, very logical just to sit there and pick an edge rusher. And to not pick an interior defensive lineman that people are going to expect to be Aaron Donald.
Yeah, but still bringing somebody that can do the same thing that Aaron Donald does. Like, I mean, this in simplified terms, in the sense that he's going to go after the quarterback. Let me just run you by the thought process I had, right? So we lose Aaron Donald. You think about in division, you have a running quarterback in Kyler, and you have the best running back in the league with Christian McCaffrey. So you're like, okay, we're not going to be able to stop anybody. We're not going to be able to control the pace of the game. Our team is next year is going to be completely done. Stafford is old. And then, like, you know, it keeps turning. You watch the Stafford documentary and you're like, okay, this guy, you know, wants to restructure his deal. He wants to win more rings. So maybe he's not, like, done. And then they go and they get a defensive player that we absolutely love in Jared Verse. And you're like, okay. So, like, you're starting to come around to being like, maybe the Rams can hit their win total. Maybe they can be better than they were last year. And you have like a full circle moment. It's nice. It's the draft. You'll talk yourself into a million scenarios.
The best part about that was that they snuck in that Matthew Stafford news. Like, Ian Rappaport came in, I think it was when the Bo Nix pick was being announced to the Denver Broncos. And he was like, Matthew Stafford is not done. He wants more guaranteed money. He wants more years on his contract and wants to play as long as humanly possible. So, I mean, he's going for a ring number two. I think he thinks it could happen with the head coach that he has, just with the brain power that's in the front office, and then the potential for maybe Aaron Donald to come back for a 3-4 game stretch towards the end of the season, if he deems it right. You know, maybe if it's not this year, there's an opportunity to do it next year, because he's always going to stay in great shape. So much fun to be had in the next, 4 or 5 months or so as we're prepping for the season.
Yeah, it's very exciting. It's fun to finally be at the point where the draft is happening. Because after the draft, I feel like it's like a couple months and all of a sudden it's preseason. So we're getting there, you know. I don't love the summer anymore.
Don't rush having to watch Stetson Bennett in the preseason. Like, let's take our time. Day two is we'll do another episode after day two and another one after day three. But if you guys are enjoying the content, make sure you like and subscribe. a lot more good stuff coming your guys' way, trying to do deep dives on everybody just so that you are familiarizing yourself with these players, how they fit in the Ramsey scheme, and you know how this team is going to eventually progress into a hopefully a 10, 11, 12 win team next season and try and make another run, another deep playoff run, get past the wild card round, and continue developing these young core players.
Yeah. Dean, real quick before we head out of here, just because I'm curious what my brother's opinion is. Who do you think had the best draft so far?
Well, it's hard because, I mean, a lot of teams have only had one pick. I love what Chicago did, obviously. Caleb and Odunze, I think that was just a home run. But then I also love the Chiefs and Andy Reid taking Xavier Worthy because I love how much Andy Reid loved DeSean Jackson and the way that that offense evolved when you brought in Weapon X to the Philadelphia Eagles with Michael Vick. That was fun as hell. So now you got Patrick Mahomes and the fastest player in combine history and Xavier Worthy. Kansas City Chiefs are going for a three-peat. That's going to be a hell of a lot of fun to watch.
I mean, the fact – I just feel like that guy's going to have a lot of drop balls to start because Mahomes is going to be slinging him so far down. But yeah, I agree.
You got the Rashee Rice drama too, but like you now you need Xavier Worthy. So yeah, you're right. It'll be fun.
Bears, number one. I really love that the Lions traded up and got their guy. I thought that was awesome. And then I also really like the Chiefs. And then the back end, I would put us like close to that. And then at the low end is the Bills trading their pick away and giving it to the Chiefs, who are like their number one rival. So dumb. And then the Falcons at the bottom tier.
I think the Bills actually start day two with pick number 33. So that should be really interesting. But yeah, you're right. Terrion Arnold for the Lions. First of all, it started with the Jared Goff chant, this friggin' draft. Yeah. But then they trade up and draft Terrion Arnold. Terrion Arnold gives the Detroit crowd one of these. A slow turn. It was like, I'm your guy. And he was one of my favorite prospects.
So well spoken.
It's a great kid. But yeah, that's what we got for you guys today. We'll talk to you guys again soon. We love Jared Verse. We love you guys. And go Rams.
Go Rams. Thanks for listening, guys.